Hello there, buddy. And welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you?
I do.
Yep, sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to get off your couch. But there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, grabbing a box of Milk Duds, and having your dad say, "Mike, give me two." On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me always, young, dumb, and full of cum, Sean Pryor and AJ Vance. How the heck are you?
That's not the first time I've been called that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Actually, I don't think any of those adjectives apply to either of you guys.
Yeah,
I constantly need emptied, for sure.
Need emptied.
Gross.
Yeah.
We're so delighted to have you here with us today. If you're new to the podcast, you're at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you love from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it scene by scene. So stay tuned for all the fun. But before we get started, we have a few fun back-end things to take care of.
Yes.
We like to do a segment called Review Time.
Review Time!
Okay, so this comes from Colonel Bison.
Yep.
It's called Stop the Street Fighter Slander.
Oh.
I love your podcast. The Mortal Kombat analysis was on point. However, Street Fighter is an amazing work of art, and Raul Julia deserves an Oscar in that movie. He should have won one. I think that's M. Bison, dude.
Yeah. Hey, man.
The only reason he deserves an Oscar for that is because he made it through, okay?
No, he's the only one that made it watchable.
He's the only one that he dedicated himself to give whatever he could to that movie, and it still wasn't good enough. I'm sorry. We'll get there.
We'll eventually get there. We'll do a segment of movies called There's No Way Any of Us Like This Movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Oh, no.
Time to do it, man.
No, let's go, boys. I'm stoked.
Well, thanks, Colonel Bison, for leaving us the Apple Cop podcast review. You can also leave us a review on Facebook. This comes from Camden Griffith. That sounds like a familiar name. Oh, I feel like I know who that is. Kind of bad words, though. Here he says, uh-oh. Atrocious.
Uh-oh.
These fellas spend every moment believing these episodes are funny and insightful. After listening to every single episode, I've learned nothing and laughed never. I would recommend this to my worst enemy. 10 out of 10 IMDb, 97% Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh. Best podcast in the whole galaxy universe. Love you, fellas. He had me strung along there for a second.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was like, oh, it's our first bad one.
Oh, cool. My.
We've yet to get bad hate mail, guys.
I get it, though, because IMDb doesn't know how to review movies.
Exactly. Nice little play on what
I
we said
that.
There. This movie is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Fucking
idiots. Wait, hang on. Like, I heard Cameron Griffith. I'm like, I think that guy is nice to my face every time I see him. And here we go.
Well, thanks everybody. We love all the reviews. We also have an ability for you to call us and leave a voicemail. It's kind of nice. You can let out some anger, frustration. You can say some nice things for us. Give us a call, 319-804-9596. We got one for you today. Let's check it out, huh?
Hey, guys. It's Nick Morella, staff pick here for the Confused Breakfast Podcast.
Staff pick.
My message is for Mike. I wanted to say that I'm very impressed that the microphone was able to pick up so well the things you were saying on the nostalgic drinks mini bike, considering how hard you were talking out of your ass, Mike. You're going to come in here with your kiwi strawberry Capri Sun talk and completely ignore the refreshing supremacy of the Pacific Cooler Capri Sun. God help you, Michael Schulte, and your chronically fucked up taste buds. But in reality, really enjoy the show. Love listening to it on the commute when I'm driving to and from work. You guys are doing a great job. Great episodes. Lots of fun. God bless. Talk to you soon.
You notice how it's always a compliment sandwich with people. Yeah. They're like, really love your podcast. Mike fucking sucks, but I listen to it every day. I really love your
podcast.
9 out of 10. 9 out of 10.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. We love hearing voicemails from you guys. So make sure you call us at 319-804-9596.
Pacific Cooler is the way, though. He is absolutely. I've never even heard of the kiwi.
Kiwi strawberry. Everyone knows, like, let's say you're talking Snapple.
Yeah.
Kiwi strawberry. Kiwi strawberry is the way.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. See, Mike not only talks out of his ass into the microphone, he also drinks it all with his ass, too. He's a chronic butt chugger is what he is. So maybe that's why he thinks it tastes so good.
We do that. We do stuff like that on our Patreon. So if you want to check that out, that is one final way to support us. You can see videos of us butt chugging Kiwi Strawberry Capri Sun.
He makes us get like real close with the camera.
Gross. So go on there. Check us out on Patreon. We are there at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Plenty of amazing perks. There's over 6 hours of additional audio that you can check out if you're caught up and you need more. Some of our newest Patreon members, we like to give them a shout out. We got Willie Cox III, Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Dr. Daddy, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, O'Pete, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy, and Connor. But I also have to say, so Janelle reached out. She's a new Patreon member, and she's like, can you please get my name right? And she's like, my name's not Jewel, it's Janelle. It's like, well, I know your name's Janelle. It's in all my notes, but apparently it auto-corrects when I upload it to the Spotify site because it says Jewel. And so, Janelle, I am very sorry. I will make sure personally that does not auto-correct from here on out.
Damn. So, there you go.
Personal touch right there, babe.
At least it's not like... fucking to duck or something like that.
You're right, yeah. Yeah, ducking.
That's
ducking. Chronic.
All right, boys. Well, it's time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we talk about a movie that turned us all into adrenaline junkies. An endlessly quotable movie that solidified Patrick Swayze as the sexiest man alive.
Yes.
And turned Keanu Reeves into the action star that we know him of today.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yes.
A movie that made us all wonder if we should move to California and become a surfer. We are, of course, talking about 1991's
yes.
Point Break.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And for those of you looking to get a refresher on the movie quick, feel free to pause. Check out Point Break on streaming platforms. I found it on HBO Max.
Yes.
If you're an HBO Max person, which we've established you should be, it was free on there with that subscription. I don't know if it's anywhere else, though, so best of luck. But fellas, it's the return of my favorite new segment.
Yeah.
We did this on Encino Man.
Let's do it.
And I've been waiting for the day when we could do it again. My wife, Molly, has not seen Point Break.
My wife.
So just like last time, I pulled up the movie poster on the TV right before we started watching. And I said, hey, babe, tell me what that movie's about. Give me a nice summary. Here's what she said. Keanu Reeves is a bad guy and kills someone.
Nope.
Patrick Swayze is a surfer friend of his and ends up turning him into the cops. He surfs to safety while Keanu's arrested by police officers. It's like, I don't think you could be closer yet further away from anything.
All of these movies inside her head, though, she should become a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking dope.
Yeah.
I want to see Patrick Swayze surfing Keanu Reeves' body to the police department.
I'm just saying. I really love that segment. So we're just going to keep asking Molly if she's seen these movies. So
that's wonderful.
So, Sean, time to start your segment. Sean always hooks us up with the pertinent, important background info of the movie. Sean, what do you got?
Yes!
He is so turned up today.
Hashtag turn.
Produced by Peter Abrams, Joseph Newton, Cohen, and James Cameron. Written by Rick King, story, and W. Peter Liff. Cinematography by Donald Peterman. Music by Mark Isham. Directed by Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
Starring Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, Laurie Petty, John C. McGinley, James LaGrosse, John Philbin, Tom Sizemore, and Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
The film was conceived by Rick Cliff when he was just daydreaming one day and thought that it would be cool to see a bank robbing movie perpetrated by surfers. And
that was literally it.
There's the birth of that idea. Originally going to be made in 1986 with Matthew Broderick, Johnny Depp, Val Kilmer, and Charlie Sheen all being considered to play Johnny Utah and Ridley Scott in talks to direct, but the production fell through. So this was going to be a movie in the 80s. Rather than years later in the 90s.
Matthew Broderick?
Yeah, I don't know.
No. That does not do it for me.
In 86, too. He was still kind of young, you know?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Resurrected by James Cameron in 1990 for the intent on finding something for his wife to direct, the movie finally came to fruition. So he was
sweet.
Him and Catherine Bigelow were married at the time, and he was just looking for something for her to do. And
it's a weird way of putting it.
I didn't mean to put it.
That's a weird way of putting it.
All right, she's
gotta get her
old
house.
Yeah, gotta
go direct some stupid ass movie.
She's just worrying too much about the ficus plant, and it's just.
Hey, they need to be watered 2 times a day.
You're right.
I've read it.
They may have just gotten a new dog.
She was overwatering.
The film was originally about skateboarding, if you can believe that, instead of surfing.
Christian Slater did that later. That's what
yes.
The film was originally called Johnny Utah, but producers thought it was surfy. It wasn't surfy enough. So,
you don't say.
So it was changed to Riders on the Storm instead.
Which I sort of like.
Which is a play
door
on
song,
the
right?
Door song. Yeah. And then they're like, we don't want to have, and that song isn't about surfing at all. So you're like, we didn't really get it. And they're like, we'll just scrap it. So they called it Point Break, which is a term used in surfing.
Wow.
Johnny Utah was a combination of Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana.
Montana is a quarterback.
Joe Montana.
Crazy asshole.
2 months before shooting, Lori Petty, Reeves, and Swayze took surfing lessons from famed professional surfer Dennis Jarvis. The film shot for 77 days in Lake Powell, Utah, Wheeler and Ecola State Park in Oregon, and Malibu, Manhattan Beach, Santa Monica, Venice, and Fox Hills Mall in California. And that is all I got for now.
Well, thank you, Sean. Next, we'd like to give the audience a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. AJ, what do you remember from this movie? What rating do you give it from the first time you saw it?
I don't even remember the first time I saw this movie. It doesn't exist anywhere in my teens or formative years. Like,
it's just there.
It just exists in like these snippets and clips in my brain of just a lot of Keanu Reeves yelling and ex-president masks.
Yeah.
That's really all it exists as in my brain. I do remember rewatching it finally again after it was referenced in a wonderful movie called Hot Fuzz.
Yes. Yes, very correct.
And he specifically asks, have you ever fired your gun into the air while yelling ah a lot? And he's like, no, I've never fired. So I was like, I gotta go back and watch this. And rewatching it again, you're just like, man, it was great. That was, I don't know how many years ago, but it's so wonderful. So mixing all that together, the fact that I do have those snippets in my brain and the fact that I did love it upon the real first watch that I can remember, I am going to give this, honestly, just a solid 6.9.
Okay, 6.9. Sean, what do you got? What do you remember, man?
I remember watching this movie. This is this week and next week are going to be a pair of movies that I watched with my friend Jordan in elementary, and he just had a bunch of VHSs, and we just watched action movies all fucking day, and then like tried to recreate them, and we went outside and played.
Love it.
And so Point Break was one of those movies, so I probably watched it in his basement. And, you know, I fucking loved it. I loved everything. I loved the scenes of the bank robbing scenes were really cool and riveting. And I loved Keanu Reeves, obviously, because I was a huge Matrix fan. And so I would probably have to give this, when I was that age, a solid 7.
Solid 7, dude. I don't think I ever saw this movie all the way through until like maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was like, it was always on TV, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, it was always a weird edited version, always had commercials. You would just walk into the room and you'd be like, oh, there's that scene where they rob the bank. And then the next week you'd be like, oh, that's where he fires his gun in the air. Oh, now, oh, this is where he's learning to surf. Like, here's where they're playing football on the beach. There was never a storyline. It was just a scene of like short movies for me for every time I watched this. And I just didn't get it. I didn't understand what was happening. I do remember seeing it in the early 90s, just going, whatever. Mm-hmm. So like for me, it was just like a 5.5. It was just, I had no connection with it back in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the beauty of this is we're talking about the old days versus the modern days.
You
so
bet.
These are just our nostalgia based what we remember, and when we get done with this, we'll tell you what we really think about it today.
That's when we were stupid fucking kids, and now we're smart, smart,
interesting,
smart, interesting,
adults.
Handsome adults.
Yeah.
What Sean said. But before we dive into that scene by scene review, we like to do some research on like what the critics thought.
And yes.
We want to hear what the general public thinks about this movie. So AJ always checks out the reviews. Hook us up, man. What do you got?
On a count of three, we always start with 3, 3, 2, 1. The tomato meter.
Yeah,
we did it that time, boys. Love it. And you did it in your car, too. By yourself.
We know
it
you
was,
did.
It was the 11th hour in That's my mind cool. as you were asking yeah. that question. It was like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And then right when you ended, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
This is a 67% on the tomato meter.
67. Okay. That's what critics
67%
think, huh?
Critic reviews, critical, 79% for the audience. Okay, so a little bit better received from the audiences.
I think that makes kind of a lot of sense.
Yeah. We're talking like 6.4 on the IMDb.
Oh, no.
Not even close. I'm going to say a 5.9.
7.3.
Jesus.
IMDb.
That doesn't ever happen.
Doesn't ever happen. 7.3.
Okay.
58 on Metascore. Whatever. When it comes down to the critical reviews, I'm going to give you a good and a bad here. Okay. Variety was actually kind of on the low scale here. They gave it a 40 out of 100. Variety said, a harebrained wild ride through Big Surf and bad vibes. Point Break acts like a huge, nasty wave, picking up viewers for a few major thrills, but ultimately grinding them into the sand via overkill and absurdity. Variety.
Cool. Okay.
Raj, our boy Raj Ebert.
Hey, all right. You know Raj was in on this.
Raj Ebert, yeah, .com. This is some California movie, all right. The plot description supplied could work just as easily for The Naked Gun 3.5 as for Point Break, which takes it deadly seriously, even after adding several other preposterous developments, like a guy who gets so mad he jumps out of a plane without a parachute, free falls until he can tackle a guy who has one, and then holds a gun to his head.
We'll talk about that, Raj.
Raj, come on now.
He goes on to say, the plot of Point Blank, summarized, invites parody. Rookie agent goes undercover as surfer to catch bank robbers. The result is surprisingly effective.
Oh.
Thanks, Raj.
Actually,
so he did the old, like, I'm going to bring you down. You think you know what I'm talking about, but I actually liked it.
He was 3.5 stars on this. Okay. But Metascore say he was like an 88. So he was actually like one of the higher ones.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Raj. Yeah. You found some fan ones, though, didn't you?
I found some fan ones.
My favorites.
I'm going to give you the good one because I'll try to skip through on some of this. But this is a 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Surfing, action, bank robbing, and Patrick Swayze's mullet. This is from Monkeys Galore, April 11th of 2020.
Wasn't that a game?
I hope so. You know those...
Mom, can we play Monkeys Galore again?
You know what my dream is?
Finish your homework.
My dream is that someday someone who did write one of these reviews finds out and like here and hears like monkeys. That's me.
You sons of bitches. That's me, Todd Grisham. Isn't he an author? I don't know.
He might be. That sounds familiar.
That's me, Michael Crichton.
You know those movies where there's not one realistic thing about them, but it only adds to the charm and fun of it?
Oh, I do, yes.
Where the insanity and occasional inane script choices make it that much more entertaining?
Yes.
Point Break is such a film.
Oh,
it doesn't operate on any levels of reality unashamedly and wears its movie status proudly, deciding instead to tell an intricate tale, which is loads of fun. Catherine Bigelow should be proud.
She should.
This is 3 out of 10. Let's close it up short and sweet. Pretty dumb. K-Dosta Hegan, May 14th, 2020. Very generic action movie. The whole concept of bank robbers, surfers is pretty dumb. They would have easily been caught. That's it.
I like that. Well, I mean, like... In this movie, they were easily caught. They just weren't the other 26 times.
If you're looking for a movie to teach you how to bank rob, this is not the movie.
This ain't it.
This is not it.
Now, surfing is still not the movie.
You know what I hate about the movie is like every once in a while he was goofy footed, but then he wasn't. He was regular footed. And so you know it wasn't really Keanu on the waves.
Doesn't even make sense.
That wasn't even some good gnar, dude.
Dude can't shred.
Fuck.
Get off my wave.
All right. Well,
that's all I got.
That's all you got, AJ. All right. It is time to dive into this scene by scene. But first, a word from our sponsors. Oh. All right, boys. Well, I got to tell you what our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Whiskey, did for me a couple weeks ago. They recently started doing a single barrel collection series where the head distiller, our buddy Murphy Quint, he hand selects a unique barrel that he thinks is truly something special, something different than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And then they release that limited quantity via a lottery system. Oh. So it's like impossible to get your hands on one of these, but they hooked me up with one. And no, for real, I'm not going to lie to you. It's honestly one of the best tasting whiskeys I've ever had. It is a bourbon. It's 121.6 proof. So they don't do any watering down. It's just straight out of the barrel.
Straight up bulletproof.
Straight out of the barrel. It's super smooth going in, but it's like really, really warm, burning, and it lingers for a long time in my chest, which is what I really, truly love about whiskey. And Cedar Ridge nailed it with this single barrel collection. They're going to be doing releases like this every couple months. In fact, a second one just came out where they did a lottery. So make sure you check them out at CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. Follow them on all their socials. You'll find out about how you can enter upcoming lotteries. And you can just order some for yourself to be delivered right to your door. You can't get those single barrel collections, but you can get some of their delicious bourbon, their Slipknot collabs, all that stuff. So trust us. Honestly, this is the best whiskey you'll ever find, and we are absolutely grateful that they're a proud sponsor of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Enjoy responsibly, and check them out at CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 Yeah. All right, boys, we are back, and what do you say we turn in our badge for a surfboard, find a hot girl to teach us how to surf, start saying brah as much as possible, and do whatever we can to catch the perfect wave of 100% adrenaline.
Via con Dios.
That means here we go, right? Via con Dios? Okay. Yeah. Via con Dios.
It doesn't.
I know. All right, so rookie FBI agent Johnny Utah is assigned to work with Angelo Pappas to solve the case of bank robbers known as the ex-presidents. We see the robbers in action and then learn about Angelo's theory that the bank robbers are surfers. Utah goes deep undercover to find the surfers, including trying to learn how to surf. He is saved from drowning by a girl named Tyler and convinces her to teach him how to surf properly.
What do we think about these intro credits?
I want to bring something up even deeper than my normal. I don't like this intro.
Okay.
Did you notice the beginning and the end of this movie are the same but totally different? Right? So think about the intro of this movie. It is Bodie surfing.
Yeah.
And it is Johnny Utah in the rain shooting his gun, being the best FBI agent in history.
Training to be John Wick.
Yeah, he's training to be John Wick. He's perfectly hitting targets. Bodie is very alive and surfing and living his best life. The end, same thing, rain scene. Keanu has thrown his career away.
Yeah.
Is no longer a cop. And Bodie's dead.
Mm.
But the same things are happening in the beginning and the end, but that's so much true. Has changed.
You're right.
Mm.
What do you think about that deep cut?
We enter the same way we end. That's kind of fun.
Oh. It was a full
circle. The John Hughes this thing.
That's Bodhisattva right there.
That's
for
Bodhisattva,
you,
man. The surfing photography I got to bring up is probably the best in cinema history in this movie. It's just stunning. First of all, surfing is what I hear is extremely fucking hard. And because that's just chaos. You can't predict waves, you know, as much as you can try, I guess. But to film someone doing that up close like that, I can only imagine is just kind of a nightmare. And it looks so good.
Yeah. I'll watch surfing footage all day long. It's awesome.
Yeah, whatever music either, too. Yeah. I don't care.
But whatever. No big deal.
Yeah.
It definitely felt very Baywatch, like WGN style, like intro credits to like the Today Show vibe of Point Break and Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. Their name crossed. It's like, ew.
Ew.
Then the sunset cross? In the background. It's like, ooh, these paths are about to cross. You're absolutely right. It's like, ooh, foreshadowing in our text.
Cool.
Ooh,
wow.
Neat.
Well, you know, we finally get to meet Angelo Pappas right off the bat. We got to do Gary Busey appreciation right off the bat, right?
Yeah, he's
rest in peace.
He might be just playing himself in the.
Wait, what?
What?
He's not dead.
Don't spread. This is how rumors get spread.
In a way.
Dude. No, you shut your mouth. Continue, Sean.
I don't think he's like really lit. I don't know. He's okay. I'm sure he's fine.
He's alive. Move on.
Yeah, he's like my favorite part about this movie. Like legitimately, like he's got like most of the memorable lines and everything. Like Angelo Pappas.
That's just a weird name.
Is an amazing name. his intro is great when kind of he's doing swimming. He's retrieving bricks.
Is that a thing
police
that happens?
Training?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And he even says
he's
it right.
Absolutely right.
He's correct.
Yeah.
Never in 26 years have I ever had to get bricks from the bottom of a pool.
Yeah.
But how great is that when he jumps off though? He goes woo.
It's the classic like 22 years. I've been here longer than the guy who's running this thing right now, and I'm just gonna fuck off. Like it's just I'll go get your goddamn bricks. It's like I can do it, but I think it's stupid because I've never had to use it in the field.
Exactly.
It's not a talent I need.
Also, yeah. John C. McGinley as the chief is like really great.
Oh god, he's terrifying.
Yeah, dude, he is. I mean, we'll get to like his more memorable lines later, but he's so like, and I like how Keanu or Johnny Utah is like kind of fucking with him too.
Yeah,
he's just kind of like, yeah. Well, what's he say? He's
take the skin off my chicken.
Take the skin off.
Yeah, take the skin off my chicken, sir. And he's like, yeah, we like our recruits to be tip top shape and everything like that. And then he grabs the donut. Yeah,
I love these things.
It's like just shoving it in his face. He's like, you're gonna be that kind of asshole, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice way of showing Keanu's young, or sorry, Johnny Utah's young. I mean, he's supposed to be, what, 25, 26 years old? Yeah. And, of course, you're just out of college. You were just a super cool athletic star.
Yeah.
Like, you got whatever you wanted in life. Yeah. So he's just like, whatever, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And it is kind of when him and Angelo are talking, like, it's weird to me how just into this all of a sudden Johnny Utah is. So,
yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, this is my first case ever. We're going to go all out on this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just very into that very quickly. Like, we have to, come on, Pappas. We have to go get these surfers. This is what we're doing.
You got
to
add the contrast, right? You got to add the friction right away.
Right away.
With Gary Busey. And by the way, I do love Gary Busey in this. I really think they have awesome chemistry in this movie. It is phenomenal how well they bounce off of each other, actually, and how well they kind of just play each other off. He pulls the blindfold off. Shit. Well, I guess
he doesn't apologize.
Angelo Pappas, that's me. He's just like goes, punk quarterback.
Yeah, he goes Pappas. Angelo goes quarterback.
Punk. And I love that they're just okay. We have to deal with this now. So let's just move the fuck on.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
The ex-president's kind of angle is really cool. I love the mask choices and everything that, like the Ronald Reagan and everything, Richard Nixon, all the bank robbing scenes and everything like that are really well done, too. It reminds me of kind of like Heat, but not really, with Robert De Niro in that movie and stuff.
Or even The Town, maybe.
Kind of, yeah, definitely.
You know The Town took from this,
they
right?
They had to have,
right?
Definitely.
Okay.
One of the lines I like... a lot is one. I don't know which one. I think it's Jimmy Carter. Whoever plays Jimmy Carter, or whatever. He's like, get your hands up, and then or like she puts her hands. It's like, thank you. Yeah. It takes off.
It is pretty good. It's like they've practiced their presidential lines as part of their character. Yeah. They've been doing this for what? We're guessing 3 to 4 to 5 years now,
right,
where they've just been showing up and doing these. It was kind of a cool. They show the robbery in full. You're seeing it as it's happening, but then it transitions to the videotape.
That's cool.
That was a really good way of them. They're explaining that they know about this bank robbery stuff while showing you the first bank robbery. Mm-hmm. Kind of. It's a nice little transition.
Yeah, it does get rid of like a lot of exposition. I would say probably them just talking about like, okay, so these are the ex-presidents.
These are the guys.
Yeah.
The whole classic like cop conference meetup thing. It's like, here it is, boys. Ex-presidents. We got Reagan. We got Tricky Dick. And we got LBJ. And it's like, instead of doing that, it's like, this is your head man, Richard. It's just like, no, okay. Like, I do, like you say, it takes you in a lot smoother way of just saying, this is what's gone on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, like, you did not have to rewind and stop dead on his brown eye.
You really see
definition
that.
Of that brown eye.
You see some sack hanging down, too, I believe.
It's like looking into space, Neil deGrasse Tyson style. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah. He would beg to differ.
He would. He'd be like, no, we got to talk about
it. It's the most fascinating thing in the entire world, literally.
Did you guys recognize the kid at the surfboard shop?
No, Mike.
No, Christopher Petiet. he was like, he was a young star. He was 15 at the, or his name is 15 in this movie. He was the one that's like, don't worry, a lot of people your age learn how to surf. And he's like, I'm 25.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know, it's never too late. But he was in a bunch of stuff. I just recognized his face. Apparently, like, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead was a big thing for him. But here's what's crazy. When I was just trying to figure out who this kid was, he died from a drug overdose at age 24.
Oh,
and
shit.
In the movie, he said a lot of people learn to surf when you're 25. Like, he didn't even make it to that age in a weird, sad, creepy way.
Yeah. It's eerie, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just had to know who that kid was, and it just kind of a bummer to hear about stuff like that. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts on Lori Petty?
I'm into it. It's cool to see her. She's usually not like the love interest in movies. She's usually kind of like the kind of more rough kind of girl in films, like Tank Girl and stuff like that.
League of Their Own. Little sister that nobody cared for.
Definitely.
Free Willy. Poetic Justice.
Yeah, I like Free Willy a lot. We have to do that movie sometime.
Yeah, man.
But I like her in this. I think she's a beautiful woman, and I think she definitely pulls it off. You know,
she's got some sparkling blue eyes. Yeah. Like, holy. Why are your eyes that blue?
I'm into it.
I think it's a pretty phenomenal casting, actually. I think it would have been really easy to go with some of the other... I think that... I read a whole list of, like, you know, girls that were auditioned or, like, tried to... They wanted for the role. But I think it was a really good... Because, like, she plays that rough around the edges, I think, better than anyone else, like, probably would have in this role. Like, than some of the other names I saw. So,
yeah,
she can hold her own for sure. Yeah, she's absolutely tough in this.
So, so then Utah comes back from the surf shop, and then he just decides, I'm just going to go surf because it's probably not that hard because he's just this star athlete who's probably good at everything.
Natural.
And literally almost dies. This movie could have been over.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Tyler.
Yeah.
He could have literally just died, and they would have been like, all right, bring another guy from the academy. And
that's the end.
That's the end of Johnny Utah. Yeah. But yeah, then what? So then Tyler saves him, and there's that funny line. He's like, my name's Johnny Utah. And she goes, who cares?
Who cares? So fuck. Nobody gives a shit.
Literally no one cares, Johnny.
No one cares, bro.
And he just starts spying on her with binoculars. Literally, like, just so she's changing her wardrobe, which I like this scene a lot.
It was a cool scene.
It's it gives me sort of ideas to do that.
You think you could actually pull that off? Like, AJ's got a pool in the backyard.
I can't pull that off with my dong and my and my danglers and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I think it would be, we can go try. We can go try, right?
Let's try it on the Patreon episode.
All right.
Try anything once, I always say.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, like, is it just licensed because you're a cop, you're just allowed to have binoculars and spy on people?
Yeah, and lie your ass off to them. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
PIs do it all the time. They aren't even fucking actual police officers. They're just like, they're always like, oh yeah, I'm only scanning on you because your husband paid me to. Bullshit.
Yeah, that bullshit.
Creepo.
Yeah, and then, like, literally to find his angle to be like, yeah, fuck, I got this angle.
Yeah.
That it's that her parents died, and then now your angle's that your parents died.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. But you do not pick up on stuff like that as a kid. You go, oh hell yeah, man, maybe his parents did die. I don't know.
I didn't pick up on any of the details when I watched this as a kid. Like, I just watched it as a bank robbing action movie, and that's what's fun watching these movies nowadays, is just like picking up on those things.
Yeah.
Like, these reasons why is like, that's pretty skeezy.
Wait, what did he say?
Yeah, exactly.
I found myself rewinding quite a bit during this movie. Go, no, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He went there. Okay.
It's interesting. Right. I'll say it now because it is kind of fresh on my mind and kind of in the conversation, because honestly, I was having a tough time picking this movie apart. One, because of things like that, because I was like, wait a second, I got to kind of rewind this to pay attention. But then there was other parts that I was like, God, this is really intense.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, I'm really invested in it right now. And I think that really pays like tribute to like the way it was shot and the sound design of it, like how it really draws you in really well, you know, like especially during like some of the scenes coming up, some of the shots like out on the water, you're just like, man, like you're kind of enthralled by what's going on. So I had to kind of like keep rewinding. All right, AJ, pick this apart, damn it.
you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, come
people
on,
are depending on you.
Yeah. And he's got that surfboard that looks like the board that you buy when you don't know what's going on, and you're trying to fit in. You know what I mean?
That's like when I bought my skateboard for the first time. I bought it at like Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And it's not like a professional, like it's not like World Industries or like a blind skateboard.
Yeah,
but
it's got Joffrey Giraffe on the bottom of
it. Yeah, but it had like the water and the fire guy on it. So I'm like, oh, that's World Industries or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be. And I'm like, oh, that's a good board. It's not.
It's not.
It's a bad one.
I broke it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's like when you go to Florida, like I used to do as a child many times, and you want a boogie board. But you know you can't take it home with you,
mm-hmm.
so you just buy the cheapest one so that you can just leave it when you go back home.
Or when you go to Florida for like the first time in your entire life and you buy a boogie board and it's got like a great white on it, but you're scared to take it in the water because you see a great white on your boogie board.
Yeah, you feel like you're projecting.
Did this happen to you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's like foreshadowing.
Cool. I'm like, oh cool, shark, you fuck yeah, dude. And took it in the water, I'm like, I'm kind of scared now.
Shouldn't have done that.
We did it at night too, it's fine.
Perfect timing. Well, let's move this party along. So after having his first surf lesson with Tyler, Utah is introduced to Bodie and his friends. They play a little football on the beach, leading to acceptance of Johnny in the group. The next day, Utah and Pappas take hair samples from surfers to isolate what beach they came from. Surfing a break that Utah thinks the ex-president surf, he has a run-in with a gang of nasty surfers. Bodie comes to his rescue and invites him to party at his house that night.
It's so funny watch because he's like, who's that out there? And Tyler's explaining, he's like, oh, that's Bodhi. He's short for Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva.
Which we'll get into that right now. Bodhisattva is a term in the Buddhist religion meaning an enlightened being who, out of compassion, foregoes nirvana in order to save others. Bodhi means wakefulness.
Ah, so he's woke.
He's fucking woke.
He's way woke. But
AF.
He is catching wave after wave after wave. And they're cutting back to Keanu and Lori Petty talking about him. But then, like, so it'll be like him catching a wave and like coming down on the wave and like surfing and not doing like a billabong trick. I don't know what the fuck. Not doing a point break. I don't know.
Not doing a point break.
And then, but it'll cut to them talking again and it'll cut to him again. But doing like the same move,
yeah.
It's like you couldn't have caught that wave directly after you just got this one.
Yeah,
I know what they're doing, and it's a nitpick, but it's just like
But there was a weird moment there where they get out of the water and start walking to shore, and Keanu looks to his left. And then they go back to showing Bodhi, but then they're back in the water again, like doing things. And then they come out of the water again, and he looks to his left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they felt the need to extend that scene for some reason.
Yeah, and it really just deteriorates the continuity of the shots.
It does. That's
just like, and the same thing happened. There's the same thing in like, you know, almost any montage, but like when Keanu's in the very beginning and he's shooting all the targets, it's like, you're just reusing footage. Like, you're just taking the same. He already shot that thing.
Yes.
Like
he already did.
18 times. He's back to a shotgun. He's got his pistol. He's back to the shotgun. He's back to the pistol. He's back on the wave. He's crashing through it. He's back on the wave.
Yep.
I don't know.
What are you going to do, man?
I know. But
that's a surfboard, all right? Looks like a 57 Chevy I used to have.
Like 57 Chevy used to have. You know, he's the only person, Patrick Swayze, that could come up and pull this kind of shit. And you'd probably still be like, he seems like a nice guy.
No, really. He's even doing the like, we're already friends. Be quiet. Yeah. I'm coming up behind her. Well, did you catch that reference, though, the 57 Chevy?
No.
So 57 Chevy is what he drove in Dirty Dancing.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So there's another reference to another one of his movies.
I know.
I don't know if maybe he just said that or if that was written into the script or whatever. But I thought that was kind of cool.
That is fun.
He's like, nice guy.
looks like a 57 Chevy used to have. And it cuts to Keanu and he looks at him. He looks at Bodhi and then he looks back down. All right, then.
Okay. Well, this is awkward.
Like, shit.
He does. He's trying to be the tough guy, isn't he? Did you guys know? I mean, you know that I love this shit. Where they are playing the footballs?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it the same scene as Karate Kid?
Yeah, man.
God, that just got me so pumped up.
Yeah.
Like, I
and
love
it's at
it.
Night and there's fire going on.
It's the same.
It's
you're
so
expecting
good.
Allie to walk down to the beach at any point.
Yeah. You ever played the pickup game where? Like you can kind of feel like it's becoming a little bit too competitive and you're like trying to score, but then you keep running. I feel like Swayze just kept running well past whatever the
dude
touchdown end zone was. You see it on like kids' faces when they're playing this game. And it's like the guy who's got the ball, he's like, and he looks back. He's like, Oh God, don't tackle me. Don't tackle me. I just scored. And
just I thought the exact same thing. Like when you're running on sand, you can't run that far.
No.
So if you're playing beach football, we're talking talking like 30 feet from end zone to end zone.
Yeah, dude.
He was running like 100 yards and he was still going. Like, I got to get to the end zone.
And like, Utah's just after him. He's like out for blood. And there's like, this pickup game's just turned a little too serious there, fellas.
Okay. I like how it starts, too. He's just like, he catches the football or whatever and then he throws it back. All right.
We're going to test you out against my friends in a football game.
Are they just, because they're lighting this entire thing with their trucks and their cars and everything like that. Yeah. And they do this later, too. How many batteries are these fools going
for? Sean, one time I left my hazards on for an hour with my car turned off and my battery died.
Done.
Like, how are you going to put your lights on?
Are they all started? Now they're all just breathing in exhaust? And it's California. They don't do that there. Yeah, you know?
That's a green state, man.
Exactly.
The football thing was just weird to me in general. That just didn't feel like something they would do. Yeah. They're like these fucking bank robbers that surf. Like, playing football just seems weird.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was a cool scene. It built the camaraderie between them.
It seems like it's the lesser extreme sport because they're all into this shit. So they're just like, this is their leisurely sport, you know? But it's still like a full contact sport.
And they're wearing leather. Have you ever been to the beach with leather on?
Yeah.
No, not a good place to be.
Not fun with that. With Rosie or whatever.
Rosie fucking popping the bottle of... Lighter fluid. Just putting it in the fire like a maniac.
It's all over his fucking hands.
It is.
He's going to light himself on fire.
If it wasn't like Roger said, our boy Raj, if it was like Naked Gun, like the third Naked Gun, it would cut back to him and he's burnt to a crisp.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, it's like,
it'd be so good.
Ready to go, Rosie?
Rosie? Nah.
He'll catch up.
But that also brings up, don't you think it's weird that they would pick a recognizable superstar and like put him into an undercover role for his first day on The Office as like not even change his name, just be like, yeah, that's Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
Well, and then when they find out
he's not a cop,
he's not even fazed by it either. No. He's not like, my cover's blown, you guys. I can't do this case.
He didn't bring that up at all. He's like, hey, they recognize me. That's all he had to say.
They know who I am.
Yeah, they know I'm Johnny. Well, let's just see how it pans out.
But you're a lawyer now. Well, life's not over. You're surfing. I love that line, by the way.
So now he's doing his cop thing. And this is where they kind of figure out where they're like, I think it's surfers, like the sex wax and everything like that. That's what we found on one of the things that we found or whatever. And so they're like kind of patrolling the beaches looking for particular kind of people. Like they find like a hair or something like that. I think it was
somebody grabbed a hair from the last bank robbery, and they have these results of what they think the surfer has been doing.
It's a pretty
colorful 3D charts on computer screens on Windows 95 or no, it wouldn't even be that.
Wouldn't it be 95?
What the hell would it be? It'd be like Windows
Oregon Trail. I don't know
whatever that came on. Linux. I don't know what the fuck it was.
It's a pretty far reach for a lead. They're going with it, and it's. Like, dude, cut my fucking hair.
Yeah, he's like, but you didn't bust us, bro.
Saved your life, bro.
Saved your life, bro.
He didn't have to act that much.
No.
I do love how he went into that, and then as he's walking away, you can kind of see his like surfer doopy face like sink away. And he's like, all right, fuck.
God, I hate being around these surfers.
Yeah, he's like, this is annoying as shit.
So he goes out into... Well, he's like not finding much, and he's on his walkie-talkie, whatever, and he's just hiding it with the towel, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah,
but he goes out and surfs, and then like he runs into Warchild.
Warchild.
Oh, he runs into Bunker.
Bunker. Okay. Bunker is the one that knocks him off the wave and punches him.
That's right. That's
right. Cuts his leash.
Yeah. Cuts the thing. Yeah, that's who he runs
into.
Stay off my wave.
And he thinks this is the end of it, right? I mean, like, he's like, okay, cool. I'm going to go take a shower and we'll get off the beach. Yeah. I really don't feel like these are the guys.
Well, first of all, how shocking would that be when you just, like, biff it on a wave? And, like, you guys have been to the beach and, like, have gone under, like, kind of massive kind of waves, right? It gets a lot, like, it tumbles you quite a bit, you know, inside there. And you're like, am I ever going to come up? I don't know.
You're at the mercy of it.
Honestly, yes. And then when you come up, you take a huge breath. Imagine getting fucking socked in the face, dude.
By the second scariest dude in the group.
My God.
No kidding.
Like, even that shot, because he like punches the camera POV or whatever. Even that shot, I'm like, oh.
I know.
Like, back off a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't end. Then you're just trying to get the salt water off your body. Yeah. You're just taking a nice shower, and it turns off. And you go, well, what? Who turned it off? And those four dudes.
Those dudes.
And even, it's such a cool scene. Keanu's like, oh, I get it. This is where you tell me, like, stay off your waves. And they're like, no.
That would be a waste of time.
Anthony Kiedis.
Lots of hand gestures, Anthony Kiedis. So,
okay, here's what's messed up. I have always been like, holy shit, it's Anthony Kiedis, right?
Yeah.
This movie came out, was released in July of 91. Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out at the end of September 91. So in theory, he really wasn't that big of a star. I mean, Chili Peppers were known, but you wouldn't have seen him really on MTV or anything like that. So he was sort of just a kind of an unknown guy.
Yeah.
But then by the time people start seeing us, they're like, oh, that's the dude from Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's amazing.
He was out here trying to... Jared Leto this whole thing and be a double threat there, triple threat, and he ended up just sticking with the tunes.
Another thing about his part, especially in this scene, is that stunt coordinator, I forget what his name was, but he's also the second unit director, and he shot this scene, and so he got everyone involved in the scene to like come and rehearse the fight and everything like that. And Anthony Kiedis didn't show up because he was like kind of drunk and partied the night before or whatever like that. And so when they got to filming, Anthony Kiedis did show up, but he made Anthony Kiedis get knocked out the first punch.
Yeah.
And then like that was it. So he's like, he just like X-nayed him from the entire scene because he didn't show up the day before for rehearsal.
There you go.
Actually, they might have done that to him for the whole movie because he had like the weakest comebacks and like outcomes of pretty much everybody at those four.
Isn't he in the shootout scene?
Yeah, he shoots himself in the foot.
He's good in that. We'll get there. He's got a great reaction, but
yeah.
Back off, War Child. Seriously.
Back off, War Child. Dude. Sunflower, Feather Bonnet, Dan. Like, what the fuck? Who are these guys?
Which one are you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who are these guys?
Fucking Jesus.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and Sunflower.
I do love that because he's legitimately Swayze.
He's like, he commits. That's War Child.
There are shirts you can find that just has Patrick Swayze's face. It just says "Back off, War Child."
Seriously.
I kind of want one. But he's so Patrick Swayze. But Bodie is so great because like he comes to the rescue. He's down for scrap.
Yeah.
And he puts them in their place, and then they leave, and then they run into Gary Busey, which is super quick thinking.
God, so good.
Super quick thinking on Gary Busey's part.
Fantastic.
Oh, God. Hold on a second. Have you guys seen a little kid? Little he stole a car stereo.
Stole a car stereo.
And then Johnny Utah points him and goes, those four guys might be, like, he's trying to send Pappas over to these four guys because he's like, those might be the ex-presidents.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's like this weird communication they're having.
Yeah.
But then Bodie's thinking like, oh, that's funny. He's like going to go have trouble with that guy now.
Yeah. And he even says, hope you find him.
Yeah.
He's just such a nice guy.
I love him. Bodie's like, no, they're crazy, man. They only live to get radical.
Only live to get radical.
I want a shirt with that on it.
Only live
Confused Breakfast. Only lives to get radical.
For me, Bodie is the guy that you hate.
Yep.
Because you ain't.
He brings the guitar to parties.
No, I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. I think
he's just like,
I don't know.
I'm the enlightened one, man. Like, we don't.
Okay.
You do see him stringing a guitar.
Okay, maybe. He's good at everything he does.
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy. He has no cares in the world. He just like, he's the guy you hate because you ain't.
Cake, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You hate us because you ain't us.
You hate us because you ain't us.
I think I get that. And I think that's why he's such a compelling like anti-hero.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of his things are just like so hippie to me.
I know it.
And it's just like, God damn it. Shut the fuck up.
You're not going to start chanting, are you?
Like he gets,
well,
he
I might.
Gets, I mean, if he wasn't Patrick Swayze and he just still had that outlook on life, he would get so many ladies and it would piss so many dudes off, you know?
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Well, I think that's what you're saying too. It's like you hate him because you ain't him, you know? But you kind of want to be a little bit
you
like
him.
You want to be him. But yeah, I don't know. It's some of it gets a little much for me when his like philosophical things and stuff is, especially later on when he's explaining to his bank robber buddy, he's like, we never did this for the money, man.
Yeah.
We did this for the man, man. It's
to
like,
show those people in their cars.
Shut up.
Metal coffins inching along to their jobs.
And he even says it's the place where you lose yourself and you find yourself.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, no, I get it. I see what you're saying. But Patrick Swayze, he was interviewed. He said he felt that Bodie was a lot like him and that they both shared that wild man energy, which to me, I feel like that's Patrick Swayze.
Definitely.
That's just the way I view him. Is like, if I were to hang out with Patrick Swayze, I feel like that's what he would have been like.
Well,
you know?
we'll get to some of his other stuff too. But he did a lot of his own stunts, and he insisted on doing a lot of his own stunts. During the beach scene where they're playing football, he blew out his knee hardcore. Was out for a few weeks, and he actually auditioned to do Johnny Utah at first, but he read for Bodie and really liked that part because he's related to that more. Lots more things coming up where he's just kind of he took reins of this character pretty much.
I always thought I would love to see, like, I think it was kind of in my second rewatch. I thought to myself, I would love to see this, but the actors reversed, you know? Okay. Mm. I thought to myself, I would love to see that. And then I got into my third, and I was like, I don't think it would work.
Nope.
Patrick Swayze doesn't commit to this, like, surfer vibe guy, like, oh, surf's up, brah. It's like, that's not him.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, it works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, whereas you think, oh, Keanu should be this guy who's surfs up.
Yeah, bro.
I was thinking while watching this, too, man. Like, it's funny you bring that up. I'm like, you know who could have played this part, even maybe back then? Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? I mean, because he is that guy, but he is, like, he's to a T, that character.
Totally.
But maybe just like, and he still has that edge to him and stuff like that. But I don't know. I was thinking that. I'm like, he's in a movie called Surfer Dude, you know? Like,
there you go.
I don't know. I was like, that could be pretty cool if we're doing like a Buzz in the Tower kind of recasting kind of thing, you know?
Sure, sure.
He's 39 in this movie, Patrick.
Really?
Swayze.
Yeah.
And Keanu's like 25.
Right.
Which was mind-blowing to me because I always viewed them as the same age.
Right.
Watching this movie, like, look at these two old guys in this movie. But like, man, Patrick Swayze, no wonder. He was sexiest man alive that year in 91.
Oh, really? Wow.
He had just done Dirty Dancing, Ghost, and Roadhouse in the prior 3 to 4 years. I mean, like, that man was a specimen. And it's just so, you hear a lot of people, you hear Sam Elliott talk about him, and he just, like, he almost has to pause to compose himself before he talks about Patrick Swayze because it sounds like he was an incredible guy, man.
Yeah, really.
And again, it always sucks watching movies where people have passed and you're like, oh, man.
Well, it sounds like every movie he was in, he was like the biggest cheerleader for.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. I'm just damn it, that's fucking so cool.
Yeah.
Like,
he legitimately cared.
Yeah, he was so supportive of just every aspect of filmmaking. Yeah,
and especially, like, you know, unfortunately went out in a very rough way.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have, it was tough for him going and to see those pictures and stuff. This is the way I like to think about him,
absolutely.
In like this and in Roadhouse and like just being this badass
Patrick Swayze.
This control guy who can take a situation and, you know, make it his own, you know.
Dude, fucking next of kin, man. Like, he's so good in that. I love bearded Swayze, especially in this movie. Like, the blonde works for me, man. It's so cool looking on him.
Fucking love it.
And sexy.
Well, this is me. And are they going to kiss or kiss goodbye? Or
you mean when they're walking down the road?
Yeah, it's like, well, this is me.
I'm over there.
I'm over here. Oh, so. Well. Boy, it was really great hanging out tonight.
It was really cool watching you surf, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
We should do it again sometime. And their bromance is building.
It is. Well,
isn't
he's kind of baiting him, like, he's like, okay, I guess I'll see you later. And then he kind of walks away. He's like, hey, you want to come to a party? And he goes to the party.
Yeah.
Ask Tyler. She knows where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds cool.
No, yeah, sure. I might be able to make it.
I might see you there. Maybe I'll see you there.
Maybe I'll see you there. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? It works, though.
It works.
All right, so the party at Bodie's culminates with some night surfing and spending the night on the beach with Tyler. The next morning, Utah and the FBI raid a house of possible surfer suspects. It goes terribly wrong. Not only are they not the right guys, but they ruin the cover of another FBI agent. Utah quickly realizes that the ex-presidents are actually Bodie and his friends.
So this party, you guys, this is like, he walks in and sees fire breathers, an interpretive dancer just staring at him, a Steve Cornholio mix guy, a dancing older Millie Bobby Brown, and then finally Bodie. Like, this, because it's just like first POV, first person kind of camera, and it's just like looking at all these weirdos. It's like, how into the frying pan, into the fire, right?
Into the firing squad.
squad.
Into the firing
you
pan.
You go more into the molten lava.
The firing pan squad.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. It's just like there's fire breathers in the house.
That doesn't seem like you want that.
No.
It doesn't seem like you want to have that happen.
I mean, like if you have a house on the beach, it seems like also when we get there later when they're like in their basement or whatever, it seems like it's on the beach and it seems like there's no cement or anything. It just seems like there's just like sand in their basement.
Maybe it is.
I don't know.
Are we sure that that's not the outside? It's not.
We don't know, man.
Isn't there fire down there?
I don't know.
Nobody. It's Bodie's house, dude. Anything goes. What's mine is yours.
Like, dude, Jimi Hendrix is playing in the background. Yeah. Anything kind of goes.
Dude's just sucking on fucking seashell necklaces and limes, bro.
One of my favorite scenes on this part was when Gromit was telling that story, and dude shakes up his Corona and sprays it in his face like ocean spray. I don't know why. I fucking love that part. I just think it really shows you like their relationship of all their friends and just. They genuinely do love each other and they're having the time of their fucking
lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and because he does that and it's not like he's like, "Hey man, come on, I'm telling a story." It's like he's like, "No, he's like with it. He realizes like
this is part of the story.
This is part of your story, man." And he's like helping him tell the story.
Yes.
And it's like that's how he takes it even. It's like it's really funny like how they're like totally in on it.
He's like, "Nah, that's a legend. No, it's real."
No, it's real.
Totally real.
Shut the fuck up. It's real.
Will you get the fuck out of my house, actually? This is the entire beach is my house. You get the fuck out of my house.
It's almost like you can do and say whatever you want at this house, but don't you dare question my thoughts about the 50-year story.
That's like, right. It cuts to Tyler just like, ooh.
Yeah. That's why we broke up.
Yeah.
So is it really... Like they are ex-lovers, correct?
Oh, when he's like, "Hey, take care of her. She's a wild one." They have fucked... For sure.
He even goes earlier on, he even goes, "So who's the new, who are you replacing me with? Who's the new guy? Like, is this brand new? Is she not told him this? Or do they still think they're together? I don't know.
I don't know. I think both of them are honestly just like the free spirit kind of vibe, you know, where they're just
sharing is caring.
Yeah, you bet. Like, what's mine is yours. And it's kind of a weird thing. And but it's fine, you know, it's like,
I like your girl better.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got a shell necklace on and a lime in her mouth.
Yeah. I taught him that. See, you know? Yeah. Like, it's that whole free spirit.
That almost felt like jealousy right there.
I know. I think she was kind of jealous a little bit. But at the same time, she's got Johnny Utah.
Yeah. She's got an ex-football player.
Yeah, she's got Johnny Knees, man. Like, it's all good.
Soon to be revealed FBI agent.
Yeah.
Johnny Knees.
Johnny Knees, bro. Oh.
So, do you want to talk about night surfing, or are we going to talk about how that's not even possible?
We have to talk about.
And then we can just move along.
We have to talk about night surfing. And the reason it's not possible is because even the filmmakers were like, "This is impossible. We can't see
shit." Yeah, we can't.
So they shot day for night.
Yeah, didn't they basically just shoot it in the day and then put a weird filter over it?
They just dimmed it down, yeah.
Like, that's not fucking. The moonlight doesn't shine that bright, bro.
No, they had all their cars on, dude.
Oh, right, yeah.
See what I'm saying? They fucking all are like sponsored by Interstate Battery or some shit. Dude,
with just Rosie hanging out on the beach by himself doing God knows what.
Well, he's been sitting there spitting beer on the fire for like 2 hours.
Does he know what he's doing? He's starting a fire in the most stupid way, and then he's also trying to put it out. Yeah, it's like, you don't know how this works, do you?
Do you know who Rosie is, by the way?
No, who?
He's Terry in Wayne's World.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Okay.
Terry.
You're right, yes.
No. I love you, man. Like that guy.
That's Rosie.
So he goes from someone who loves too much to someone who kills too much. Like,
once he gets going, you can't turn it off.
Can't turn it off.
He's
gonna
gut her like a fish.
That's why I need Rosie, man. You don't think I can do any of that?
I couldn't do anything like that. I just ask other people to. Like, what the
fuck? And his name's Rosie.
We're jumping way too far ahead here.
Sorry.
Okay, so yeah, night surfing.
But we'll just continue. Rosie is a psycho, and he stabs a bottle of lighter fluid, dumps it all over himself, and then the fire, and then lights it up with an entire pack of matches.
He's super edgy. He's just like, he's kicking the flames with his boots and shit like that.
Still got that Corona, though.
Yeah.
Spitting. He doesn't have a care in the world. He's spitting that shit all over the fire.
Just reversing the process.
Yeah, exactly.
So then he spends the night with Tyler.
Well, the music that might as well be playing, especially after like they get done night surfing, because him and Bodie kind of have a moment. He's like, "You feel the wave, and it's you gotta do this, you gotta do that." Ugh. And the music that might as well be playing is like, "Let love lift us up where we belong. Like, yeah. Just watching him, like whatever, dude.
Isn't this the greatest feeling on earth?
Yeah!
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 And I'm like, surfing!
The only thing that bothers me about them hooking up is that she's so fucking cold, dude.
She's so what?
I'm cold. And her jaw is just like...
And then they sleep without clothes on the beach.
Dude. Yeah, I think just as unrealistic as it is to surf at night, it's just as unrealistic to try to have sex on the beach at night.
That's just...
There's just
sleep on the beach.
Sand everywhere and in places you don't even know exist.
It's coarse and it gets everywhere.
It reminds you of places that exist. Like, it's bad. And it's just...
He's already late, and he's giving the goodbye kiss. He's like, I'm so late! I'm late!
Fuck!
I'm in love, though, so, like, I'm gonna kiss the girl. Yeah.
I kind of liked that performance.
Yeah. It's good, but it's just like, go, dude. Like, you have a raid.
It's part of this movie where just many scenes in this movie are just too long.
Yeah,
he could have just been like, "I'm late," and he could have kissed her and ran.
I get that though.
He could have been smiling while he ran away and like had the one kiss that came back was like, "Oh,
yeah, yeah,"
and then it was like, then he took off. But no, they took it for like an extended like 96 seconds.
Okay, can I ask you guys what you guys think about Keanu Reeves in this movie? Then
we talked about this in Bill and Ted's. I don't know if he's a good actor or not.
I'm not sure either.
I don't know the answer. I know that I enjoy watching him in movies.
Every single movie he's in, I fucking love it.
Correct.
I love watching him.
I don't care if he maybe for some reason isn't good at acting. Because mm-hmm. I like him in this movie.
Yeah.
He's fucking Johnny Utah, and this is fucking Point Break, and I love it. You know, like, that's all I got.
It's funny because, like, in Bill and Ted, he can get away with it because he is yucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
In this, he's a guy who... is supposed to be pretending to be yucking it up, but then often other times he's not. And so that's what makes it difficult is the times where he's serious. So when he's yucking it up and when it's really intense, love it. When he's like, ooh, I'm in love. Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you are, man.
I don't believe you.
I want to believe it. But I don't know if you believe.
I would rather have Keanu Reeves doing whatever he does, we don't know, in acting in this movie than Matthew Broderick doing really good acting in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. That's absolutely, yes.
Can I just say, like, I think I agreed with you in the beginning, but as I kept thinking about it, I was like, man, Matthew Broderick,
no,
actually.
You take that thought out of your head.
I think it'd be okay. I think it'd be kind of fun. I don't know if he could surfer boy it up like Keanu, but...
What do you think about Keanu?
I agree. I'm not sure if he's a good actor, but he is Keanu Reeves. You know, I think he's Keanu Reeves in pretty much everything that he's in, and so that's why we keep going to see these movies because we like him.
Yeah,
kind of like
as a person.
Kind of like Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage.
It's pretty much that, and there's certain other actors who haven't been canceled yet who are Brendan Fraser is one that's going on now. So we want to see him come back, and we want to see him do good. Whatever Keanu's in, since he's such a cool dude in real life, we want to see him do great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
doesn't matter if he's got like a bad... He's kind of wooden in this. That's what I feel.
Sure.
It's like his certain reactions that he has are just, to me, just kind of bland and don't really serve the movie all that much. But then again, in the back of my mind, it's like, but this is Point Break. And it's Keanu Reeves. You know, like, it doesn't really matter. But I do notice it, is what I'm saying. But
it does pop in from time to time. You kind of go, hey, man, come on.
Yeah.
But he was young. He was pretty young in his career at this point.
He's just starting to break.
Bill and Ted's was a couple years before that and just kind of figuring it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're moving on to the... to the stake where they attack the war child.
War child.
I think this is the best scene in the movie.
Fucking feather bonnet.
It's feather bonnet. Brownstone feather bonnet. It's really good, man. Yeah. And it's very tense. Like you forget how tense this whole situation is. The lawnmower starts and now we can't, now we're trying to keep Pappas out of the house. Naked ladies all over the place. God.
Looking for his dog.
Have you seen my dog?
You seen a little dog?
Scoobit.
FBI, Missy, open up. But no, did you know the naked blonde that attacks? She's in the shower and then she attacks. Did you know who that was?
What Playboy
person
is that?
She, you ready for this?
Please.
She has worked with Patrick Swayze before.
Oh.
Julie Michaels was the blonde in Roadhouse.
Oh, really?
Yes. The blonde that dances, that gets the black eye in Roadhouse.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That is her.
That's her?
That is her.
Wow. How did I not recognize
her? Well,
you
barely see her face. You just see her boobs, pretty much.
I was going to say, how are you going to
How did I not recognize her?
How are you going to edit out tits on our TikTok?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Look out for some tits on TikTok coming up.
Jesus. TikTok?
Hey, all right. We're having fun.
We're having a good time, you guys.
Fucking Keanu Reeves, or Johnny Utah, is looking behind a corner. He uses like a little dental mirror.
That he carried along with him. I was like, what the fuck?
He brought that from the beach?
Where'd you get that? It's like the littlest image to see teeth, and he's like trying to look around a corner on Earth.
It works though, man.
On Earth.
And then War Child pulls out like hand grenade shoot launchers. And I mean, they had a stockpile of weapons.
Yeah, it was a pillowcase full of fucking automatic weapons like that are supposed to be like from 0072 on N64. This is obnoxious. Okay. The arsenal, it sounds like plastic toys falling out of a sack.
Fucking pigs, man. If they come in here, I'm going to blast every single one of them, man. And all that because there was just a guy knocking on the door about a dog? I mean, are they that? I guess they are meth heads. They're all paranoid and
shit,
aren't they?
Paranoid.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the coolest shootouts that I've ever seen. Like, you got Heat again. Like, Heat's one. It's probably the best shootout ever. Mm. But this one's really cool. I think the whole raid, it's like got no music to it. And you guys have heard on the podcast before. I love that about about movies. It's just way more intense, and you're more involved in that way. You're not told how to feel with the music going on. But yeah, even like when they go outside and it's the lawnmower thing and everything like that. But then you realize what's actually happening, and Tom Sizemore has been there the entire time as an undercover cop, and he's really fucking pissed about it.
Justified. You think I like this haircut?
My wife makes me stay at a hotel.
Yeah. So you think I like this haircut? You think I want to put beer in my Cheerios?
Yeah.
He was doing that in the beginning, right?
No shit. You can't tell me he's at least a little bit batching it up right now. These guys.
He could have said. They could have said, "Hey, did you put the beer in the Cheerios?" Yeah. And he said, "Yeah."
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of actually putting it in his Cheerios for fun of it.
Yeah. Like he's like, "Yeah, I found this thing when I was deep undercover. Actually, beer and Cheerios is pretty fucking good." I was like,
that's actually pretty good.
We've discovered that Rolling Rock and Four Cheese Cheez-Its is like cereal to us.
Basically, it's a savory cereal when you're on the road, man.
Did you notice? I think I saw what they were trying to do, that it looked like they were trying to bump the guy mowing his lawn so that he dropped the lawnmower. But that lawnmower was just sitting there. Like, a lot of people leave their lawnmower running while they turn it upside down. Yeah. They just leave it running and turn it upside down so that, like, maybe a rabbit could run into it or something like that.
You got to make sure it's running well and free and lubed up well.
Yeah,
that's how you got to do that.
I remember being frightened of that as a child. Absolutely. That is terrifying.
Did you think lawnmowers are a bigger deal?
I still think lawnmowers are a big deal in my life. I still feel like that. I can't walk near my, like, I can't go near my rider lawnmower thing, like, if it's on.
I can just picture every time AJ turns his lawnmower off, he's like, speaking to the microphone, squid brain.
Squid brain. Got him. Dude.
Got him.
That scene was so frightening that it actually made my wife turn away from her phone on TikTok.
I don't know how
look,
I did it.
Look at it. And then it finished. She's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often, gentlemen.
Okay.
All right. And I agree with her. That is anxiety right there.
Yes.
How close his face was getting to that thing.
I don't know how they actually did it.
I don't either.
Because it was right there. His face was there.
Yeah.
I would say computer effects, but it doesn't look like it. It looks pretty real to me. Like, I don't know.
Keanu does his own stunts, man.
But then, like, because he's
like
grabbing
some celebrity deathmatch shit right
there. Yeah,
here, bro.
He's grabbing onto the wheels, but it's wheels, so he's like, he can't grip on them, you know?
Cool. Oh, man. Yeah.
You got to think War Child's going to get the best of him in a real life situation. War Child's going to put his face through that thing.
Sunflower's jacked, man. Like, he's pretty stacked, and he's got the curls in his hair to prove it.
What about Dan?
Dan. The whole crew's there.
Yeah, Anthony Kiedis when he shoots himself in the foot. I first of all, I love when he just fucking takes off. It's like, oh.
It's so good.
He's behind the door. He shoots his foot. It's a great reaction.
It really is.
That one's really good.
That's a genuine scream.
Yeah.
The squib in his foot.
It's pretty awesome.
Looks like a freaking like midget jumped out of a cake, man. What that thing looks like after it happened.
It looks like Alien or Spaceballs when it comes up.
Not again. It's like, dude, that thing looks like, oh my gosh, that is a party favor. And he is
his Amani shot.
It really is.
Good Lord. All right, so during a stakeout, Utah chases Bodie after a robbery but injures his knee before he can apprehend Bodie. Tyler finds out that Utah is a Fed and leaves him just as Bodie shows up to make Utah go skydiving. After the skydive, Bodie shows Utah video evidence that Tyler's kidnapped and in major trouble.
So how he finds out is he's like kind of walking with Tyler along the beach and he's watching Bodie surf again, you know, just like scoping out Bodie's being and wanting to be him pretty much. But then it's funny because the dude pulls down his pants and like shows his ass to Bodie, and it cuts to Bodie or like Patrick Swayze. It's a slow mo shot. He's like, yeah. Like,
they're all so excited
to see his ass. It's so funny to me.
He's looking for the Poseidon's kiss on his ass. But that's yeah, man,
that's how Johnny Utah puts two and two together. So he does a stakeout with Gary Busey, and this is what we get.
Know that brown eye anywhere.
The most famous line in the movie, to me anyway.
Do you want to go ahead and say it?
Yeah. Give me two, Utah.
Give me two.
Those meatball sandwiches.
Give me two.
Yeah.
It makes me want a meatball sandwich right fucking now.
I totally agree.
The way he digs into that meatball, yes. That's also, that's what draws me in. Utah, give me two. Because he said it three times up until then.
Give me two. Give me two of those.
Hey, give me two of those, actually. I'm hungry. You know, give me. I should have had you get me three of these things. He's just like, he's all in on those meatball subs, man. And
just as much as he's all in on those funnies.
Dude, so is he just having a bad day? Because he clearly cares nothing about this investigation.
Oh, man. That Calvin Hubs.
Oh, man.
He might, dude, he's like in some 50s, 60s sitcom. Like, he's on Brady Bunch, like reading the funnies, man. Like, yeah. It is over the top, but somehow I buy it because
Completely.
It's Gary Busey.
I love it. Yeah,
like I really do. And he's just like, because he's just this guy who he doesn't filter these things as, I'm just going to have these as thoughts. Mm-hmm. No, these are going to be audible.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
That's how he processes it. And like, and he's. and then asking for the subs and stuff, I'm pretty sure all Utah got was a tuna sandwich,
tuna on wheat. Yep,
right.
That's all he got.
And
man,
a couple of lemonades cost him $7.84.
Three sandwiches and two lemonades.
Yeah, $7.84.
Are you saying that like that's expensive?
I'm saying that like it's fucking cheap.
I was going to say, I think one meatball sub would be $7.84.
I would do that right now.
I'd buy a single
lunch for the week. Yeah. Dude,
that's insane.
That was another cool shot, though, kind of like some of the shots we've talked about where Keanu's looking away. They show up, they run inside, then he turns back around.
I love it.
I love that stuff, man. It just seems like such a, I don't care if it's a gimmick or whatever. It's just, it just works for me every time they do it. Nope.
There's no music sting. There's like, there they are. It's them. Nope. It's just like, no, we're just going to witness this happening, you know.
If you were looking at your TikTok during that, you would have never known that they had pulled up, just like Pappas.
Boom.
He had no fucking clue. No stinger.
Like,
how are you going to know?
Pappas, man. By the way, $7.84 would be worth about $15 today.
That still feels cheap.
Still feels cheap.
A little
cheap. Three sandwiches and two lemonades.
Be about $25-$30.
It's got to be, man.
But that's the kind of street car stand that like you got a 1 in 4 chance of like some food poisoning kind of a thing.
Yeah,
you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, Pappas is definitely okay with it because he's had it before. He's
Pappas
like,
been there before.
I'll take that gamble. Yeah, anytime.
He's like, it's only happened once in the 17 times I've been, so it's probably okay.
Then you have the world's longest chase known to man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, from the minute he starts chasing them, the car scene, to fucking burning the car with the gas tank, to then chasing Bodie through the houses.
It's so well put together.
It is, man.
So
it's exhausting.
Him chasing Bodie on the foot chase when
through the houses and
everyone,
the yards.
Like, everyone else gets away in the car or whatever, and then he's chasing Bodie. It's not Patrick Swayze. He was doing press for Ghost at the time.
Oh, no way.
Overseas. And so that's just like a stuntman, and that's why they had him put the mask on the entire time.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
Why would he take it off?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, let's keep it on.
It's way more cinematic. I mean, I know it's beautiful Patrick Swayze, but it's cool. Cooler looking.
That was even such a weird, scary move where he sprayed the gas station attendant with gas. Not to harm him. He didn't want to hurt him. He's like, but you stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Right.
Or else you're going to get lit on fire.
Yeah.
I thought he throws a dog.
Who the fuck throws a dog?
I mean, if you're trying to get away, man, you're going to throw a dog. Okay. And then Keanu punts him.
Yeah.
And he goes,
yeah.
Dick.
Don't punt that dog. He had nothing to do with it.
I didn't like that at all.
No, he didn't like that punt, man. Yeah.
My big thing here is, we've obviously noted that Keanu has absolutely no regard for his cover, right?
Zero.
Up to this point.
He's
going into those other house, like he busted those other dudes, just fucking nothing on his face, no cover. Like Pappas says, like, last resort, I don't want you to blow your cover. He's in there.
He's the first one in there.
It's like the first one in the house, man. Oh yeah, I'm Johnny Utah. He recognized me. That's fine. Whatever. It's like, okay, cool. And then he goes and he sees them.
They see him.
First and foremost, freeze FBI, and they all see him.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of them was going to turn and shoot him. And Patrick Swayze is like, no, don't shoot my boy.
Yeah. did you hear the little, there's a little sound effect when he clacks his barrel clink. Against his other barrel?
Clink. I like it.
Sound design.
I know, man. But I'm like, God, there's no regard. Like, you couldn't have some regard for your cover. It's blown now.
Yeah.
If you're so sure it's actually them, like, then this
and
is...
And he is sure that it's them, right?
He's positive. Yeah.
Yes.
And so why wouldn't you have somebody else on top of this? I understand, well, Harp's coming down on us, and John C., what's his name?
McGinley.
Riley, I don't know. John C. Riley in that role, that'd be pretty great.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, all right.
We'll recast
that
one.
Damn.
But no, and it's like, oh, he's coming down on it and everything. And it's like, dude, you've got to be shitting me. That was my biggest gripe is right now when he just blows his cover wide open.
Well, he blows his cover and we get the scene where he's shooting up in the air and everything, shooting his gun going, ah. And when he blows his cover, then he immediately just goes blows his load inside Tyler.
Yeah,
and it's like, that's what you do when you've blown everything you've worked so hard to cover up.
If you've blown everything else, man, you might as well
just go blow that, I guess. What? So he just goes and fucks Tyler.
And even before that, he's like, Tyler, there's something I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Man, this is harder than I thought. Shh, shh, shh. No fucking shit, this is harder than you thought. You're going to tell a girl that thinks she loves you that you've been lying about everything in your entire life and that you're a fucking cop.
Yeah.
Man, this is harder than I thought. What?
How hard did you think it would be? I guess.
I've gone through this like 10 different ways in my mind and it didn't go like this, so I'm just not going to do it.
You'll eventually find out on your own. It'll be fine. And then you may try to shoot me. I don't know.
You're gonna make me just as much as I've been made by my other people that I've been trying to chase.
And that's the thing is, like, well, everyone else already knows. She's the only one who's going to be out of it. Like,
she's going to find out because she's going to get kidnapped by Rosie.
Get it's one last be fuck in. That's
super
fine.
Weird. By the way, before we move on from the chase scene, I just have to say, I've been doing a lot of physical therapy lately for my knee and stuff, I've had to wear a mask in that facility for like every time I've gone in. Uh-huh. It is not easy to do that much cardio with a mask on. I got to give props to Patrick Swayze. Especially that guy is just yoked.
Especially a late 80s Halloween type mask.
Yeah,
like a latex mask.
You can smell it.
California heat. Oh, yeah.
At least mine is like, you know, somewhat breathable, you know? It's two layered, two ply, but it's a breathable mask.
Oh, no, you got the first world problems part, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and his. Oh, my God. Like, breathing that in, and especially after he just went through basically a you know, playful gas fight with a... I don't know, man.
Like, those masks aren't fit to your face like they are like in Hollywood, because those, like, I'm imagining like him running around and it just wobbling on his head. Like, how can he see?
Very true.
Wobbling on his head.
I didn't even think about that. It's not perfectly formed to his head.
No. He's constantly pulling it down so he can. He's trying to like peek through the holes. Like, God damn.
Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
So if we're moving on from that,
let's do it.
Then he agrees to get in a plane with people he knows that know who he is.
Yeah.
And they decide that...
What's up, brah?
We're actually cool now because we're skydiving together. And if we're talking about anything that needs to get cut from this movie...
Yeah.
It's the fucking skydiving scene.
It's a lot.
Do you know how long? Do you know how long it is from the minute the first person jumps out of the plane till when the last person crashes into the water?
No.
4 minutes and 37 seconds.
And this movie's 2 hours long.
Who decided that it was going to be 4 minutes and 37 seconds of, isn't this amazing? Yeah, it's the best thing I've ever seen. It's like the coolest thing, right? Yeah, it's the coolest thing. Hey, look at this view. Oh, my God.
Come on in here, Utah. Get in here.
Who the fuck let that scene... I mean, it's a gorgeous shot, like, with the lake and everything. Like, it's gorgeous, but can we just jump out of the plane?
It lingers so long, and, I mean, I don't know if anybody's in this room has been skydiving. We'll do it on Patreon, but it
skydive
can't...
Skydive on Patreon?
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to skydive on Patreon.
Cool. Sounds good.
But it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take 4 minutes. It takes, like, 90 seconds.
That's weird.
To get down on the ground.
Like maybe the max.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't take more than 4 minutes once you've even pulled your parachute and slowly float to Earth.
Right? No shit.
But like it was a gorgeous shot, but my God, it does not need to be in the movie.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm more interested in watching surfing scenes shot like that. Like that's the extreme sports aspect of the movie. I'm less interested in the skydiving shit because I've seen that like on YouTube and like you know, the craziest accidents that have ever happened, you know.
Faces of Death 27.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But yeah, I agree. It needed to be cut so much shorter.
I like the little shell game that they kind of play with the parachutes and everything.
That's kinda cool.
You know, just to kind of throw them off the send a little bit or something. It still just brings me back to the whole point. Like, they show up at the door. Now Tyler knows and everything, too. So it's like, how do you know she hasn't said something to her? It's like, wait, did you guys know he was FBI? It's like, well, yeah, we found out because he just busted us doing this. Like, well, why didn't you guys tell me? It's like, well, we just found out, too.
We're going to take him skydiving.
And it's like, so then you got Utah, and he's laying in bed lonely.
With a phone on his chest.
With the phone. And he gets the ring at the door, and it's like, oh, I don't... Do they know that I know that I don't know that they know that does Tyler know? Who knows?
How about just immediately kidnap him and say, you're helping us with the bank robbery?
Yeah.
Why do we even got to do the skydiving?
Oh, they don't know that I know that they are the expert. Come on.
Because it turns fast. You almost feel like everything's cool now.
Yeah.
And you almost feel like, oh, dude, this was great. And look, and then... This is going to sting a little bit.
Yeah, I like that aspect about it, especially Swayze's performance.
He does bring him in and make him feel comfortable again.
His turn somehow is really good. And you can feel that he doesn't want to do this, but he's got to. And so, we get the Tyler Ransom kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, so Utah has to go on a bank robbery with the ex-presidents in order to save Tyler. The bank robbery goes bad, and Utah tracks them to the airport. He is forced to get in the plane and skydive to the safe zone. By the time they land, three of the ex-presidents are dead. Johnny saves Tyler, and Bodie gets away. Years later, after tracking Bodie all across the world, Utah finds himself in Australia. Instead of arresting him, he lets him surf into the 50-year storm and get away.
Mm.
Or so, kill himself, really. But
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
The whole bank robbery scene when they involve him or whatever, and it's the famous like rock and roll, and from the van into the bank, it's a little bit of a oneer.
Yeah,
a oneer, just like kind of a one shot kind of thing. So it's like following. It's like I think it's Keanu's point of view.
Yeah, it is.
Going into the bank, and it's really well done. You can tell that it's like the ISO on the camera from the van. When they open the van into daylight is like kind of adjusted a little bit, but it still works for me. And I think it's just like a really cool shot to kind of bring us into the bank robbery. So
the bank robbery that goes wrong, all they had to do was let it be and move on with their lives. But they had to do this last one, didn't they?
He wanted a big score. You know, he
never go for the vault.
They broke their own rules, man.
And Keanu knew.
They live in chaos, and this is what they do, but they broke their own rules in controlling their own chaos, man. That's what they fucked up with.
Sometimes, bro, you just can't control chaos.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, they only live to be radical.
But and you know what? It's all Bodhi's fault.
It is.
He told them to go to the vault, to open it up, to like go in there. Then you took too much time. That cop had his weapon and gave him enough time to process to do what he did.
Well, it's because what I'm saying, man, like all of his like philosophical things and his hippie kind of jargon that he's spouting now is fantasy.
Yeah.
And this is real life. Yeah. And that's what that's what Keanu even says to him, I think. He's like, this is fucking real, dude. People are dying because of you. Yeah. And so this is what happens. And I think he's scared and he's realizing that he's scared. He's like, but he's trying to keep the fantasy going. He's trying to keep the fantasy, like get a hold of it. And he just can't because it's real life. And that's just not the way it goes.
And his little brother, like I finally picked up on that. Gromit is apparently his little brother.
Because
he keeps saying little brother, and I thought maybe that was just
jargon.
Yeah, like, but no, I think legitimately Gromit is his younger little brother, and like that's just terrifying.
I hope that's not his real name,
Gromit. Yeah. No, Gromit it means like surfing novice.
Oh
it's
yeah,
like a lingo
that's right.
or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Right,
so it
right.
was just a nickname, okay. kind of like War Child and Leatherface or whatever.
Sunflower. Dan,
back off, War Child.
Seriously. Thank you.
Oh my God! I said Leatherface. No, I said Leatherface.
No, it honestly feels like the whole idea of the surfer group, like we talked about, is this idea of the endless summer. And this is how they fund it. Bodhi, he feels like he's some beacon of individuality and bucking the system.
Yeah.
And like no one thinks about that, like for you, man. And it like when it kind of comes to this final bank robbery, it feels like this, you know, failure to launch kind of doesn't want to grow up kind of guy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like a very dark version of something like that. Like I don't want to grow up.
It is.
It's like, well, you should because this can't last forever. Yeah. You know,
sometimes you gotta just kind of have to buy into the system. And that's what we've all been doing. That's what humans do, you know. Like we do it because other people do it, you know. Like just do it and be a normal person for once. Yeah, you can live on the edge and be radical and stuff like that, but you can't do this and not harm people anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
If his philosophy was correct, then why aren't they doing like more of like a Jesse James or like a Billy the Kid kind of thing where they're giving to the poor?
True.
Like why aren't they doing that? Like it's pretty selfish of him to just keep it all for themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Then they get, obviously he chases them over to the airport and we got more deaths, but one of my favorite lines is there's a new thing called radar. Maybe you've heard of it.
Maybe you've heard of it.
It's 1991. Like radar, radar's been around for a really long time. I didn't understand that reference. Like, is it just now in 1990 they developed radar that can see where planes are and stuff like that? I did not get that.
I feel like it's a reference of like, no, it has been around a while. You dummy. Like you think you're just going to get away with stuff. I think so, but
no,
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a weird reference. Like it's a new thing called radar.
Maybe you heard about it.
Yeah.
And obviously we all know how it goes. You know, they parachute again and Bodhi leaves. He saves Tyler. While Gary Busey dies. Unnecessarily.
Keanu Reeves is no, I actually kinda like. It seems like he's lost a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, like no, it's really long.
Right.
It's almost as long as the skydiving scene, but it's good. But so Mythbusters did do this where everyone jumps out of the plane. Keanu doesn't have a parachute. They did deduce that it could be possible if you are very, 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 very extremely like the best skydiver in the world.
Yes.
You could maneuver your way to catch
to
up
get to him as quick as you could.
Yeah.
But then like, yeah.
Very, very minuscule chance though. So...
But I mean, why not? Why not have a second skydiving scene?
Yep.
You know, because we had to let Johnny Utah learn how to skydive first so that he could do the second skydiving, right?
Exactly.
Right. We gotta take his fear away for doing it.
Because whenever Johnny Utah does something for the first time, the second time he does it, he's an expert.
Yeah, that's right.
That's actually seems to be how this movie is going, actually.
That is the point of this movie. You are correct.
Even being an undercover FBI agent.
Did his first night of sex with Tyler not go that well?
Yeah, then? I don't think so.
I think he was kind of like working his way, all of the sand and like the towel wasn't cooperating.
Gross. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, I don't know how much more you want to talk about here. There's, you know, he obviously switches to years later. You know, he's been searching him around the world.
He's in definitely Australia.
He is not in Australia. I've been there. It's Indian Beach, which I almost sent you in Ecola State Park. But tell me, please, that you picked up on that Australian guy at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Australian cop.
Yeah.
That's the worst Australian accent I've ever heard. He literally says, "You let him go.
You let him go.
We'll get him when he comes back in."
He's not coming back.
So that is Gary Roberts.
Gary.
Of course
he's German. And he was in Die Hard. Oh. He was one of the goons in Die Hard.
Oh, wow.
And they decided that he was the guy to have lines as an Australian cop.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I think it's honestly the best acting I've ever seen acting through rain, though.
It's pretty good.
It's just like pouring down his mouth. There's a way it's just pouring down his mouth. I'm just like, wow, he's acting literally through water, it seems.
They're just aiming the rain gun at his face from like 5 feet away.
We'll get him when he comes back in.
Come back. Come back.
So what do you think happened to Johnny Utah?
Well, first of all, I do like... It's a badass move because, like, especially probably not having seen Johnny Utah in I don't know how many. Like,
they're saying probably years, I guess. A couple years have passed.
And he just tosses the mask in front of him. Like, imagine being Bodhi and seeing that and be like, oh, you got me.
Imagine carrying that around for years.
That's true.
And keeping it in your pocket.
Well, and latex it's a natural substance. It does deteriorate over time.
Yeah, I mean, imagine just like carrying that around with you all the time and just trying to, like, you know, go out on a blind date or just
why do you have that mask?
Just try to, that's a long story. It's like, well,
so I think maybe Johnny Utah, I don't know what happens to him. He definitely throws away his badge and everything like that. Maybe he does. I think honestly he moves to Hawaii.
Okay.
Opens up just kind of like a I think he opens up a surf shop.
Okay.
And just like takes up surfing.
And him and Tyler, maybe?
He's been surfing every day.
Maybe.
That's a cool. I like that.
It is a cool line.
I like the fact that they're like genuinely like, hey, man, we're pretty good friends.
Yeah.
I have an honest question. You've been surfing every day. Thanks to you. Thanks to you, man. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Bodhi died?
He has to have.
Yeah. I don't know. But that would look like a real person on that wave.
It sure did, dude.
So did sure that stuntman die?
Boy, that is concerning. I'll be honest with you.
The surf instructor that they had, Jarvis, did he die?
Yeah. It's for the good of the film, my friend. Just make it happen. We will honor you every day.
Wow, what a great shot. We got that, right? Yeah, I think he's dead, though. Yeah, but we got that.
We got that shot right. Pack it up.
Pack it up.
All right. Well, he's not coming back, so.
Well, what do you say?
It's fine. We'll get the body when it comes back in.
He's not coming back in.
He gets back in.
Did he just throw his badge in the water? Yeah, it must be symbolic. No, it's pretty literal. He lost that badge. He's not gonna go to the FBI anymore. No, costs money.
He's done.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he was kicked off of the FBI right away for his poor performance in obtaining these guys. And then he just carried he somehow got like a fake badge and just carries it around with him so that he could do the symbolic gesture.
So why was this is getting, I mean, we need to end this, but like, why was Australia so mad at Bodhi? Were they just,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Were they just extradition get like or a tip to extradite him? Or yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they were very mad.
They were.
That's the thing. Like
German mad.
You got to be talking about like Interpol at this point.
Yes.
And like, he was talking about how.
Great band.
Found some dead meat down in Mexico. Nobody wanted to claim it was Rosie and. Just missed you in, like, what was it, Lisbon or something like that? Fuck. I get it. Yeah.
Just missed you at Six Flags.
Yeah. And your favorite sushi spot in Japan had a warm seat. So
I heard you went to the Goonies house.
Yeah. Oh my God. You just couldn't stay away, could you?
I know that's your
but
favorite
I knew.
I know that's your favorite movie. I remember that night. You remember that night?
We rented a movie after the fire. It's like, yeah, but I knew that 50-year storm was coming.
I knew.
Okay.
All right, let's end this. Goodbye. So, all right, we took Point Break all the way apart. We did it with a modern eye. Now we'd like to give it that rating as a modern-day adult. Mm-hmm. AJ, what do you got, man?
Honestly... there were parts of this I was honestly just kind of bored with. But then there were other parts, like I said earlier, that I was like, wow, like this is a really, really interesting. Like I'm like enthralled by this movie right now. You know, like I'm locked in. Like, I can't even be disturbed or like distracted to try to write something down that like I think is comical, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of points like that, and I think it's a great action flick. I love Patrick Swayze. Mm-hmm. I am a big Swayze fan. I like Keanu Reeves, and I just think that, you know, the additional cast rounds it out really well and tells what honestly, yeah, it's kind of a generic idea of a story. Pretty well and pretty in a pretty fun way. So I honestly, I think I was a 6.9
yep.
starting out. So I'm going to give this a 7.2.
Nice.
What about you, Shauner?
Yeah, I think Catherine Bigelow directs a hell of a fucking movie. I love her as a director. We need to do Near Dark sometime for sure. I love the action sequences. They're so good, and I think they're done extremely well, well put together. It's well performed. Swayze did a lot of his own stunts. Like he insisted on doing a lot of the skydiving stuff, and so that's why you see him actually jumping out of a plane, which is really cool and adds to the action a lot. But I do agree that there are some parts that do kind of drag. There could be like maybe 10 minutes shaved off of this movie.
Totally.
And I'd be just fine with it. But it's fucking Point Break, man. Yeah. Like I don't know what to say. Like my Keanu thing kind of adds to that, adds to my grievances about it a little bit, where it's just like he's a little wooden, but it's still Keanu. Like, and that's my point here is just it's just Point Break. I'm gonna go up a whole step and just call it an 8, and that's where I'm gonna stay forever.
Fuck yeah, dude. Never, yeah. Never again. Never change that.
Nope.
There was just that. I mean, that skydiving scene. Come on, like I'd rather them replace that with. I want to see the manhunt the years after, like sure, him actually absolutely. Showing up in Mexico. I want to see stuff like that. If you're going to make it this long, just do that stuff.
Totally.
But yeah, dude, man, what a classic film. It I is. Mean, it's so good. I watched it 3 times and I loved it every time. So I'm going to take a 10 and I'm going to minus 4.4 for the 4 minutes and 40 seconds of the skydiving scene. We are at a 6.6.
All right.
All right. Well, we're really glad you enjoyed the episode. It means the world to have you here with us. Tune in next Wednesday as we discuss a very different and in no way similar storyline to this one, The Fast and the Furious original 2001.
Very much so.
First movie in the 2001, baby.
Yeah.
And after that, we'll start to make the transition away from summer, start heading towards the horror Halloween fall.
You
movie.
Fucking bet, dude. Fuck
yeah. And shout out to the rest of our Patreons, to Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick, Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Keir Lana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Kale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, and Brenna Meisner. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being
thank you
here.
You guys so much.
You should probably check us out on all the stuff, probably, huh, AJ? Yeah.
Please and thank
we
you.
We got stuff. Check us out.
We
man.
Got so many things, guys, because you're already listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Stitcher, everywhere in between. You have given us the 5-star review. You've given us the thumbs up. You've given us the subscribed button. You've given that to us, and we really appreciate it.
We own it now. No big deal.
Yes. You've also probably been following along on all of our social media, facebook.com/confusedbreakfast, Instagram @confusedbreakfast, Twitter @confusedbfast, and of course, TikTok @confusedbreakfast. We also have our Patreon
that
you guys can get on. Follow along with us there. You've got how many hours of content on there already?
We're up to about 7 now.
7 hours of content.
We're getting huge content on that mofo.
You are getting so much bang for your buck if you were to just jump in right now to our Patreon.
Backlog.
On that backlog.
Yeah. Y'all got to hit up our merch store as well. It is Confused Breakfast on Big Cartel.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. I will say it again. Like I said last week, this person in front of me right here makes all them shirts. He makes all them stickers. He does all of that and packs it up and sends it on your way. So,
it's true.
It is literally handmade. I'm telling you right now. I can see it in front of me.
Yep.
Right there.
There it is, baby.
So hit up that merch store, you guys, and get our name on your chest.
On your bod.
And there's them goons.
Click the summary. There's a link in the summary that'll take you to everything we just said. So click that. And you know what? We're going to see you next time.
You bet.
Goodbye, people.
calls for a pee-pee for me.
Yeah.